Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've chosen to tune into our program today. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I've been pastoring for 27 years. And one of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with your life right now and connects with how the world works. For those of you who follow the church calendar, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and I want to wish you a God-filled Advent season. I know that some of you who are listening have followed Jesus for a long time, and others of you, you're still wondering about Jesus, and some of you are just wondering how people of faith think. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I hope that you'll find this program interesting and informative, and I believe that for those of you who desire it, God can use a program like this to take you another step closer to Him. Last Sunday morning, we looked at what it means to begin our spiritual journey. This morning, I want to talk to you who have been walking with Jesus for a little while. You're moving into a different stage in your spiritual growth. You're not really infants in Christ, but neither are you spiritually mature. I think of the stage, this is stage two in spiritual development. There are probably about seven stages, although many Christians don't make it past stage three. But I suspect that many of you who have been walking with Jesus for a while will relate to this stage. I'll call it moving into the wilderness. This is one of the more difficult stages and dangerous stages in the spiritual life. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a story. Starting at verse 3, I'm going to read from the New International Version. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell among good soil, where it produced a crop of 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the level of rocky soil, where the roots have not gone deep. Jesus tells us about the soil in verse 20. He says, "The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word of God and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." These are people who start out in level one and they hear the good news with great joy, but the roots don't go down deep enough and they fall away. I don't mean to say that everyone who hits level two will fall away, but there is a danger here. Because at this level, the spiritual life gets a lot harder and the roots are not as deep as they will be. And some people experience that and they experience the trouble that comes and says, "I'm out of here. I gave Jesus a try, but I don't think I want to do this." Let me tell you about this level. Last week I told you about how people come to Jesus, and it's often about what God can do to make them happy. But Jesus comes inside them, and there's joy, and they're learning to pray, and they're learning about God, and they don't know much, but they know that something has changed and God is there. Oh, the temptations are there and the challenges are there, but these are offset by this new adventure of getting to know God. You know, a person travels in this way for a while. It could be a couple of months or even a year or two. But at some point, they move into level two, and this is one of the most difficult stages of the spiritual life. See, when you get here, you've come to the conclusion that, well, that God's way is the right way. This giving our lives to Jesus has become more than just an experiment. We're convinced that it's the right way. But what seems to happen is that many people walk into a spiritual wilderness. And not many people talk about this wilderness. And it catches people off guard. And in some ways, our initial excitement about our newfound faith is worn off. And what happens is we start to feel a little double-minded in our faith. We know God is at work in our lives, but at the same time, we're still engaged in worldly living. The Bible defines that in 1 John chapter 2:16 as we're buying into the lust of the flesh or sensuality and the lust of the eyes, which is materialism, and the pride of life, and says, look at me, look who I am. And at this stage, we sense God working in us, and yet this pull of sensuality and materialism and pride is really strong. On one hand, we are starting to have the Spirit of God enlighten the eyes of our heart. And we want what God wants. And yet at the same time, we see who we are and, well, those pictures don't match. And this becomes disconcerting to us. Not only that, but because you're making progress in your spiritual life, spiritual warfare has increased. You're becoming a threat to the work of Satan, so he starts to roar loud and our souls become a battleground for him. Not only that, but prayer isn't quite the comfort that it was to us. At first, you see, we know God is at work, but it seems he's a little more distant. And worst of all, transformation is slow. There are a lot of people who hit this level and they get going and the going gets hard and they quit and said, I've tried this Christian thing and it doesn't work. But there's others whose roots will go down deep enough that they survive the onslaught. To put it in biblical terms, this is the time when people learn to walk by the Spirit. Or they don't. Here's what Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, and so that you are not to do whatever you want. The flesh, for those of you who are not familiar with that term, it's not talking about our bodies, but a nature inside us, the nature that wants to take our desires that are good, and it so warps them that it turns them into something bad, and we have this strong draw to do what is wrong, and the temptation is strong. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, that the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, and drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul says if you walk by the Spirit, you won't do these things. Verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It doesn't say you won't want to do these things. If you walk by the Spirit, you just won't gratify those desires. The Spirit of God is giving you desires that are contrary to the desires of the flesh. So you have these two sets of desires. The Spirit of God is going to push you towards what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 describes as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things go to war against our other desires. This second level is all about learning to walk in the Spirit. See, you get the sense that a war is going on. Galatians verse 5:17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. There is no place that you will feel this as keenly as in this second stage of growth. You have two sets of desires, and they are at war with one another. And the battle will be with you for most of your life, but this stage, the battle is really loud and really strong because you are just learning to walk in the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever watched a child learning to walk, The one thing they do is fall a lot. It's the same thing in learning to walk with the Spirit. We tend to fall a lot. Sometimes the wrong desires win. Have you ever seen a parent helping their kid to walk? They take them by both hands and they help them to walk along. And then they try to allow them to take a step or two by themselves. If they fall, they don't say, well, you're a bad kid for falling. Well, no, they say, oops. And they continue to help them to walk. That is what God wants to do for you. He wants to help you to walk. But learning to walk is hard. At this point in the spiritual journey, we need people to come alongside of us and help us to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. You know, they'll take us to verses like Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says, those who live according to their flesh have their minds set on flesh, what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Walking in the Spirit depends a lot on what you choose to set your mind on. Do you set it on the ways to get what your sinful nature wants, or do you set it on what you're missing out on and how deprived you feel, or on how everyone else is doing these things, or do you set your mind if you do set your mind on those kind of things, you're setting your mind on the flesh and you're going to fall. If you set your mind on what the Spirit desires, you're going to stand. One mindset brings death, the other brings life. And we need people who will walk alongside us, encourage us, and help us to refocus and set our mind on the things that bring life. We're going to take some time and just consider that, and we're going to hear Casting Crown as they sing, I Will Praise You in the Storm.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm.
want to take a few moments and talk to you who are at this level of your spiritual life. You know, when you get to this level of your spiritual life, it can feel like you've gone backwards. The great feelings you began with aren't always there. Spiritual warfare increases. It doesn't feel good. You're left wondering, what did I do wrong? The reality is that you're moving forward even if it doesn't feel like it. Satan wouldn't be interested in attacking you if he wasn't scared of your progress. The battle that you feel is huge, but it's normal. The best thing that you can do is learn to turn to Jesus each step of the way. When you feel tempted, turn to Jesus. When you feel spiritually dry, turn to Jesus. When you have fallen, turn to Jesus. When you celebrate a victory, turn to Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's going to continue to call you, to woo you, to invite you into this relationship with him. He wants you to have this deep friendship, this deep love relationship with him, and he's going to continue to call you towards himself. And when you sense a desire to move towards him in prayer or in worship, respond to that desire. That is the Spirit of God giving you his desires and teaching you to walk in God's ways. I want you to know that the process of learning to walk in the Spirit is a slow process. Transformation is slow. Patience is going to be one of the key characteristics in this phase of your spiritual growth. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about prayer. Prayer is one of those key elements to learn to walk in the Spirit. Last week, we talked about learning to bring all of your life to God in prayer. When you're sad, pray about it. When you're happy, give thanks for it. When you're confused and in doubt, talk to God about it. You're also going to learn that God wants his kids to ask him for things. Now, if you've ever raised a kid, you will know that there is a stage where they get the things they want by pointing and fussing. But then they learn to talk. And a parent has to remind them to use their words. We learn to use our words in prayer by asking God for things. God says, use your words. And so when you start to pray and ask God for things, you're going to notice that your prayers get answered a lot. Well, that's not quite true. What you're going to notice is that a lot of coincidences start happening in your life. You pray about something and you find that it happens and you're left wondering, was that a coincidence or was that an answered prayer? You'll be amazed at how many coincidences happen when you start to pray. In fact, you're going to see so many coincidences that you're going to start to see God's hand in those things. And that seems to be the only explanation for it. And it's true, God answers prayer, especially simple prayers prayed in expectation. You'll also notice that a lot of things go wrong in your life as well. See, some people reason, well, if I give God credit for the positive coincidences going in my life, well, then maybe I should give God credit for all the things that go wrong in my life as well. Here is what I want you to know. God is not into negative reinforcement. He is trying to draw you with love. He isn't looking for you to step out of line and bop you over the head with some celestial stick. That's not who God is. But you do have an enemy of your soul. We call him Satan, the devil. Now, God is everywhere present at the same time. Satan is not. He spreads his work through demons, and they're essentially fallen angels, and they're going to try to hinder and destroy you. Their greatest weapon is deception. They'll put thoughts in your mind, they'll do stuff, and they'll blame all the bad thoughts that are going on, all the bad things that are going on in your life on God, when it's fact them that are doing it. If you want to get a good idea how they work, C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, is a pretty good look into how they work. It's a story of a senior devil mentoring a junior devil on how to manipulate Christians. I also want to know that when it comes to demonic attack, God has not left you defenseless, but part of the stage of the journey is learning how to fight. You'll find that God has given you armor to protect you. And if you learn his word, you can also attack you. One of the names of the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The primary weapon of the enemy is deception and lies. And your primary weapon is the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. You'll learn the power of worship. You will be tempted to think when things go wrong that God doesn't really love you. But when you start worshiping God for his love, you'll find that it's a very effective way to chase the enemy away. Learning to call on Jesus and learning the power in the name of Jesus as you face attack of the evil one, that's all part of the battle. Learning to stand and face in the face of spiritual opposition is part of what it means to walk in the Spirit. I wish I had time to walk you through Ephesians chapter 6. It's all about learning to stand in the face of the enemy. Now, I've talked to you about some of the spiritual aspects of walking the Spirit, but usually something else starts to happen right around this time. See, Jesus starts the process of helping you to discover the emotional wounds from the past and helping you to heal from those wounds. You know, we grew up in a fallen world and we live in a fallen world. And because of that, there are often bad things that happened to you while you were growing up. Or there were good things that were supposed to happen to you that you never experienced, and those things leave wounds. And when you start learning to walk in the Spirit and when you start to see your desires that are not from God, God will show you where they come from. And this is part of what learning to walk in the Spirit means. This process usually continues past this stage, depending on how much damage was done. The most important trait during this part of your spiritual journey is perseverance. You fall, you get up, you get attacked and beaten up, you stand back up, you look towards Jesus in prayer for strength and for healing. Continue to study the Scriptures, for they are true and they are God's word of life to you. During the stage, you may need to make some adjustments with who you hang out with. There will be some people who will continue to tempt you towards the wrong path, and you probably need to avoid those people until you're stronger. Now, people of God who are a little further down the way in your spiritual journey, let me talk to you about your role in helping people at this stage in their spiritual development. When a person is at this stage, they need a spiritual friend. They need someone who they can trust to share their struggles with. And I've got to say that, women generally do this better than men, but men need spiritual friends just as much as women. As a spiritual friend is someone you can hold a spiritual conversation with. They can help you to see what God is up to, and they may be able to point out the attacks of the enemy. They're often able to recommend resources where you can learn about what you need to learn. I'll also say this to you, the last thing that people need at this stage is someone laying guilt trips on them. That's really counterproductive. And yes, they're going to fall a lot. When you're learning to walk, you tend to fall. And sometimes you fall in the mud and it gets messy. What they need most is for you to show them God's love and forgiveness and grace and truth. They also need you to pray for them and with them. The primary trait that they need at this part in their spiritual journey is perseverance. And what they need from you is encouragement and assurance that God will come through. Tell them the truth about God. Tell them that they can trust Him. Tell them not to doubt in the darkness what they have learned in the light. Tell them they can get past this stage and pray. Pray for them and lift them up before God. Like I said, this can be one of the most dangerous stages in the Christian life. But it's also one of those stages that when you learn to walk well, you develop this incredibly good foundation for the rest of your spiritual life. If you don't learn it well, you'll find yourself circling back here way too often. Well, maybe as I've been speaking, you get the sense that this is where you are in your spiritual journey. Journeying through the wilderness can be hard. God will provide oases along the way. God is close by, even if you can't see Him or feel Him. God's heart towards you is good. The faster that you can learn to trust what He wants is what is best for you, and that His heart towards you is good, the easier it will be for you to navigate the wilderness. Be patient with yourself and with Him. This is an important part of your journey. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I wish you God's life and peace. Lord Jesus, for those who are at this stage in their spiritual life, I'm asking that you would give them grace to be patient with themselves. Would you give them a spirit of perseverance to make it through? Lord, help their roots to go down deep. Lord, protect them in this time. Lord, I pray that you would bring along spiritual friends and mentors that will help them to walk through this time. Lord, we commit them into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.